Good morning. Today it happened. August the 1st. Yipes. Joining us this morning. Boy, you got like stars and stripes all over you, don't you? Got it on the above the nameplate, on the wrist.
Just a patriotic individual, Brian.
The tennis shoes?
I don't wear tennis shoes. Come on now.
That's so you can run fast, right?
I put a lot of work into these, making them look shiny like
this. Yeah, so. Okay. Well, we won't make any further comments about apparel then, shall we?
And I see how I totally skipped the whole running thing, right?
Yeah. Captain Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. So somebody on vacation or still recovering from the chase?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, I figured it went past our place, so it went past his place.
Yeah.
So no. That's got to be... Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. And then you had a little community challenge that you're going to throw down?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, not SmackDown.
Not SmackDown.
No. Unless you don't show up, of course. Then.
All for a good cause.
All right. Are you ready for a Why Do We Say That?
Absolutely.
You know, you got a shot at... Well, okay. Redneck's too easy. Character. Why do we say... Someone has character, or is a character.
Why do we say someone is a character? Well, I think it would probably have to do with the reference to old-time movies when maybe someone didn't, like the ones where they don't speak, so they had to play a role as a character, so they were very unique, so if you see someone who's unique and they say you have character, then...
Let me start with the first line here. Classical Greece.
Oh, yeah. You're way past mine.
Well, it could be still theater.
That's
right?
True.
Okay. Metal workers of classical Greece developed a special tool used in marking. In time, such a character or instrument, whose name was altered in passing through several languages, came to designate any mark made by it. Medieval courts made such use of characters. Convicted of murder, a person given penal servitude instead of the gallows was branded with the letter M. In the same fashion, an arsonist's forehead or shoulder bore the character of A. Anyone branded by authorities was marked for life. One glance at a character told the stranger what offense had been committed. As a result, the term indicating a branded letter came to stand for the sum total of a person's moral qualities. Or their character.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Boy, I wonder what would happen if that was done today. Other than multiple multiples.
There would be, yes.
Yeah.
Especially this day and age, last couple of years.
Yeah, the repeat, repeat, repeat.
Yeah.
Boy, it was funny. Ironic funny. When Merritt Perry was in last week. They had some clown down there. They've been arrested 7 times. Finally got sentenced. I suspect you've got those that hit that profile also. Significant damage, not just drunk in public, that kind of thing, but actually mayhem and causing financial hardship and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's tough because when you do finally make that good arrest, if they're not held in jail until they go to court, then you feel like your community is still being victimized until they can get in there and actually get their day in court and get sentenced if they're found guilty. So... yeah, it's that revolving door. It's definitely can feel it from a patrol level.
Is it changing at all?
I've heard of... I mean, there are some crimes I've heard that, the district attorney's office has taken a different stance on. I know we've been working with the judges and trying to, different programs to try to get some of these repeat offenders to stay in jail at least for a weekend.
Yeah, a couple of days, just so they taste.
Yes, give our community a little bit of reprieve from the damage they're causing. Our stores... A little bit of reprieve from the theft they're facing. But again, everybody's hands are tied given by the laws that have been passed, so there's only so much that can be done.
Is it the DA's office or the jail? Or the judges? There are 3 different elements that are involved there, or variables.
Ultimately, it comes down to the judges and what they'll hold on and not hold on. That's what it ultimately comes down to. We can have and pressure as much as we want, but either the standards is not there, the type of crime is not there, or it just doesn't
rise to their level.
Their level of holding somebody in jail.
Yeah, got to be frustrating. Are the window breaking events lessening at all, or at the same
pace? I think it's probably the same. Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with just a lot of our mental ill community members suffering in crisis at times who are acting out. Don't think a lot of it is necessarily focused on any particular business or any particular theft-like stuff.
Yeah, it seems to be
random acts.
Yeah, broad-based.
Yeah.
Also seems like it's just Eureka. I mean, I can't say. A high percentage are Eureka.
We own a lot of the issues in the county, being the county seat. So anytime you put all the services in one location, at least the hub of the services in one location, you tend to see a higher level of activity that surrounds those individuals that are utilizing those services.
Were you one of the guys responding to the race through Eureka?
I got the call right after I just finished dinner, I think. So I was dressed and out there just as they were taking the last guy into custody. So, and then all the fun stopped and the work started with running the scenes. So
yeah, they're just in time for everybody else to leave. Great timing.
So,
is there any developments on that that can be shared yet?
I would have to defer to the sheriff's department because ultimately it turned out to be their investigation, and the criminal investigation or the CERT team is dealing with the officer-involved shooting portion of it. But I know that they have made arrests. They have charged the individuals in that case. And
What was the initial thing, driving stupid?
So the initial stop in our jurisdiction was for speeding. The vehicle fled. It was terminated almost immediately. A broadcast was put out to all county agencies, especially Humboldt County Sheriff's Department and the CHP, given the location the car was heading. The Sheriff's Department found the vehicle again a short time later. Another pursuit ensued when the vehicle wouldn't stop. And then that led into the exchange of gunfire, which was initiated by the suspects.
When there's a situation like that, and we've talked in the past that going too fast for safe, okay, stop. All right. Never follow that up. When you're shot at, does that get you to stop? Is that a moment of engagement? I mean,
it's complete changes the scenario completely. You go from an infraction, speeding to attempted murder of a peace officer. There's no stopping at that point.
All right. We'll talk about what happened when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Captain Brian Stevens from Eureka Police Department. So the chase was on at just high speed, let alone the shooting that occurred. How do the officers, do you hear a shot? I mean, if you're going 50 or 60 miles an hour, I don't know how quick the sheriff or the deputies were going. Do you hear that? Or is it a visual?
Having never been shot at, I'm only going to speculate as far as the hearing goes. But yeah, I do believe given the type of weapon that was, you probably would hear something. But definitely the visual, because the shots weren't fired through the back window of the suspect vehicle, so the suspect was outside the vehicle.
Oh, so they were reaching kind of...
So they would have seen the gun, probably seen the muzzle flash,
right?
Given that time of night and everything, so they knew.
Okay, so now we're fully engaged with adrenaline. I would suspect, yeah. Fight or flight. I know you guys mostly fight, just by training as well as by genetic. okay, now you know that something like that's going on, and you don't have the armored vehicle that you're driving, does that change the pursuit at all, or does that just make it more serious?
I think you have to look at it from the standpoint of if someone is willing to take shots at a cop that's just trying to do their job, what other dangers are they to the community if they get away? So you go from a high-speed pursuit just because someone's speeding to now you have someone firing shots at law enforcement. Not only does that change the crime to attempted murder, which is a higher level of, you know, why I want
to chase
you.
That's one the judges pay attention to.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also you have to think of what's going to happen if this guy crashes into somebody else or something happens in the community. He has no regard for community safety.
That's what I was saying. It was 7:30? Ish.
Yeah, 7:30 when it started.
At night. Okay. Let's make it 3 in the afternoon. Okay, a whole different... And then let's make it during the school year. So we got a lot more activity on the streets going on.
Yeah, and that's where good supervisors come in. I mean, like I said, it does really change it when the shots are being fired, because at that point, you know, you're chasing someone that's now on a, you know, attempted murder suspect versus someone that's speeding. But you do have to evaluate that environment that you're in, driving right past, you know, Alice Burney School during school time or in the daycare there. Yeah, I mean, that's a completely different scenario, and you really have to come out of your tunnel vision, out of that fight mode, and really start evaluating where you're at, what's happening, is there a better way to handle this? And the supervisors really need to be listening to that, too, and helping young officers, even seasoned officers, with that decision-making process.
Yeah, you know, I think we would all like to think that if it was Stevens in pursuit versus Joe 3 weeks on the job pursuit, it would be the same. I would suspect that not quite the same.
It's not. It's like with any profession, the more experience you have, the better decision-making skills you acquire. And even at that, the most seasoned officers find themselves in a space where decisions are hard to come by sometimes, and they need someone to kind of pull them out of that tunnel so they can see clearly what they're going and what they need to do.
Yeah, I know you guys do ride-alongs. I can't imagine. Okay, here's our scenario. We're going to be going 80 miles an hour through city streets. Now, we need you to make a call. You know, I think then it would begin. Let's take it even to 50. All of a sudden, we begin to appreciate, okay, there's a couple different things going on here, and this isn't just Monday morning quarterbacking. This is something entirely different.
I think people would be shocked of how much stuff takes place inside of a law enforcement vehicle during even a slow speed pursuit. Call it a 30 mile an hour to someone that fails to yield and just driving around at the speed limit, stopping at every stoplight, every stop sign.
But just keeps going.
I mean, the whole process is still there. Why is this person doing this? What safety issues are there for myself and for the community? Is there another way we can get them stopped? Can we get ahead of them, get spike strips down, flatten their tires? How can we make this as safe as possible? But really, why? Why are you still driving? So then that raises your blood pressure on what are they planning on doing if they get to the right location, you know? So it doesn't matter if it's slow speed, high speed, if shots are being fired, not being fired. That process, that thought process just never ends when you're inside the car.
Still going down the checklist.
Yep.
So with this one particular situation, high speed going, something in the back of my head says the spike strips don't get used over a certain speed limit, because then somebody could be out of control and go into, you know, end up in houses and things of that nature. What tools are at your disposal then when it gets above that point?
So spike strips are designed to slowly deflate tires so they don't blow out. So you can run over 100 miles an hour and you'll get...
Oh, and you won't start to swerve?
I mean, you may. I mean, as the tires go down, if you continue to try at that speed, obviously you're not going to have that control. But they don't.
I understand traction gets a little weak too.
It does, yes. But it doesn't cause an immediate blowout of tires, like, you know, it's causing cars to spin out immediately. They're designed to just puncture holes, a slow, you know, deflation of the tires, and
so they're small holes rather than big holes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But would that, if you had the time, would those have been laid down?
I would have hoped they would have thought about it, but there were a lot of factors that will come out in the investigation, just the way the car was driving, the speeds, the safety issue that was being posed to officers because of the directions they were traveling and things that really caused some concern on the safety of, because laying those down is one of the most dangerous things in law enforcement. We see every year cops killed.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So it's not like a half mile in advance and nobody's around.
Well, you can, but...
Yeah, okay. You might get others, too. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now...
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Captain Brian Stevens. This chase, and I know it's still active and you guys can't say it a ton. Were there lessons learned? I mean, or is it so extraordinary that it's just an outlier and you just move on?
No, Brian, there are lessons learned from every incident that we're involved in. So there will be takeaways. I'm sure the Sheriff's Department will do a review to make sure policies and everything were met. And then it brings up a lot of good training points. And a lot of, you know, we have several recruits right now in the training program, and I know their trainers ran this scenario by them, you know. It's
eyes wide open, baby. Yeah. If we exclude the shooting part, because I think that puts another level of everything on it, and just said, okay, this was just a high-speed chase through town. Is it known? Has it been shared what the route was that this car was traveling
No.
on? Okay. Because I would think with a lot of the turns and the ups and downs and, you know, if Hodgson still had Thrill Hill, okay.
Yeah.
you don't take that road. You know, if there was a cognizant thought or if it was just happenstance, the roads that seem to be taken, because I don't think we could map out roads to take if we were going to try to drive that fast through town,
yeah.
Even with no cars and everything out of the way. What roads would you take? I'm not sure if we could figure that out and keep it between the sidewalks.
Having done it plenty of times, I will take any of those 2- and 3-lane one-way streets.
Yeah, H and I. Okay, fine.
Harris-Stephen is not bad, you know, 4th and 5th Broadway. It's tough. And, you know, again, that's where the evaluation comes in. That's why we terminated the pursuit in the beginning. The speed, the danger for the public outweighed the need to try to pull someone over for a speeding violation. We are creating, at times, potentially a more dangerous situation than the speeding violation was to start with. And those are the things that have to be evaluated now, nowadays, especially as policing has changed. So,
I would think that community members are probably more familiar with movies. Well, why didn't you just block the street with a couple of cars? and you go down the list of why you don't do that.
Yeah. Intervention techniques work sometimes, and sometimes they create mass havoc. And, is it safe for us to do this? Is it going to endanger us? Is it going to create more danger for the public? And again, it's for a speeding violation. So at some point, you got to say, this isn't worth it anymore.
Yeah, the ROI.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
It's not there.
So in these kind of scenarios, this one certainly got everybody's attention on a number of different levels. If it was just somebody going fast through town, how often does that happen? And you can define fast however you want to.
So pursuits or just people reporting?
People driving way over the speed limit.
Yeah. Lately, I would say in the last year for sure, it seems to be a common occurrence. Probably daily we get calls, either people in the safety quarter utilizing the shoulder to pass other people, weaving in and out of
really?
Traffic. Yeah.
They're turning it into a 3-lane?
It's a daily call.
Or is it like the aprons like going into Harpers. And
well, I've had somebody just the other day coming back from McKinleyville. My personal car got into the turn lane to go to Airport Road, sped up past me, cut back in to the lane because apparently 55 and it's not fast enough out there. So, but it is a common call. We get a reckless driver calls all day long, every day. Different, you know, realms of reckless driving. Some of them turn out to be drunk drivers. So we do, you know, if someone's provided enough information, especially if they're following it, we'll try to respond as quickly as possible to evaluate their driving. And then if there are still violations taking place that we can witness, make a stop and evaluate the driver for any, you know, unknown circumstances that could be causing this. But it seems people are just really impatient lately. And I think part of that came out of COVID when the lockdown and the streets being open and there wasn't no traffic and you could drive a lot faster. And, you know, we were taking different precautions from the law enforcement side to now where the streets are full again and people think that's the way it should be. And they're still wanting to drive the same way.
Did it before, can do it today.
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting. I suppose we're all creatures of habit to a certain extent. So once we get accustomed to driving at a certain point, it doesn't matter what the flashing signs mean.
We don't like change.
Yeah. Now, the flashing lights in the rear view might change our opinion.
or the hefty fine, yes, that comes from the course. Yeah, that hurts occasionally. So.
Yeah, that's enough to be a behavior changer.
It is.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. Every once in a while, you guys get a chance to kind of get outside your norm for community help and stuff. You know, we see, or used to see, the softball game.
And we're actually having the Coast Guard Eureka softball game.
Is that next week?
August
12th. This week. Next week.
Yeah, August 12th.
Yeah, I guess we have to change the calendar in here, huh? Yeah.
Making me work for it. A week from this Friday. I see it in the small print, a week from this Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Christmas time.
Yeah, the shop with the cop.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you guys drink coffee anymore?
We try. It's been challenging just given some of the businesses, some of the issues they're having with health issues and just time on our end too. But it's definitely something we're trying to do. We try to be out as many of the events that are going on right now. So we have the Thursday night concerts. We have the Friday night markets. Arts Alive on Saturday. So you always...
Any neighborhood barbecue? You're there?
If they'll call, yeah. Tell me what time they're cooking. That'd be great. So, yeah.
Oh, but you got another event coming up also that's not connected to food, which is really kind of...
Well, actually, there is a barbecue.
Good. So the tradition continues.
Yeah. So, this is our fifth annual Battle of the Badges started today, our annual blood drive. So this whole week, Monday through Friday, or Saturday, actually, there are multiple locations you can donate. And Wednesday will be the main event at the blood bank from 8 in the morning till 7 at night. And there will be a barbecue between 12 and 7. And, you know, we've had great turnouts every year. We've been flirting with 200 donors. And this year I'm confident that we'll be over 200 donors. And right now I know the blood bank is really struggling for blood. This is a tough time of year for them with a lot of their donors on vacation out of the area. But the need goes up because of the same reasons. We have people traveling and accidents that happen. So every pint of blood you donate can save three lives. So if we get 200 donors, that's 600 lives we can touch, and that's a huge benefit. And, yeah, while it's a competition for us, there's a little bit of bragging rights and a nice Redwood trophy that goes along with it. Truly, our community is the ones that...
Is it blood red?
It's a redwood, yeah.
It's a real redwood.
So
it would seem like a lost opportunity if it wasn't.
So yeah, it's just a great event, and I'll be there all day on Wednesday. So if you've never given blood before, and you need somebody to walk you through the process, hold your hand, whatever it is, flag me down, and I'd be happy to help you.
Or if you want to meet the media celebrity.
Yeah,
Brian Stevens.
I'll be there all day. Answer questions, shake
autograph
hands,
sessions, all 9 yards.
Take photographs, whatever it is. So.
Do you guys do those trading cards anymore?
We haven't done those since I was a rookie cop. So okay. Over 20 years.
Oh, so that really would be a collectible.
It would be. It would be now, yes, for sure.
Oh, do you guys, gals, get a chance to do that kind of stuff on much of a regular basis?
You know, we try to schedule things throughout the year. This is a unique event. We do it again, and EPD does it for Christmas. We do a Christmas time blood drive as our way of giving a gift back to our community at Christmas. We're doing our ice cream with the cops coming up soon. That location will be announced, and it'll be a big one this year.
Hopefully we'll be close to an ice cream parlor.
Actually,
so it doesn't melt all down?
Actually, Living the Dream brings their little ice cream truck out.
They find you.
Has partnered with us for years now, I guess from the beginning. And they come with us, and we set up, and they serve the ice cream, and we pay for it. So, and it's a great time. Not only kids get ice cream, but it'll be a place where the kids can play and have some interaction with the cops
too. Yeah, just kind of hang out and be with you. Now, do you guys show up full dress, or is this civilian dress?
No, we're in uniform.
Casual? I mean,
no, it's the uniform you wear. So we have detectives wearing sweatshirts or polos. We have our rangers out there in their vest on the outside and their beards, and we'll have all our cops out there too. So it's one of the events that probably most of the cops truly enjoy going to and hanging out, because the interactions are just great. Kids are happy, and it just gives us a chance to take a load off for a little while and enjoy.
Do you see the interaction, has it changed over the last couple of years?
No. You know, it's when you're dealing with children, even young adults, you have the most opportunity to influence that relationship. And I would tell you right now, the support in this community for law enforcement is high right now. All the local events too, I can't go anywhere without being stopped and thanked. Somebody give me a thank you card. Kids wanting stickers. It's just been amazing. So I appreciate that. I thank the community for that. But when it comes to the children, that is truly where we have the opportunity to influence the future of this community and make those changes. So,
yeah, it's kind of, it's an unknown. You don't know if, how many, all that kind of stuff. Do you get some of the kids that from years past that are now no longer kids coming back and having positive memories about it, or sharing some of the stories?
Yeah, you know, we were at the Friday Night Market the other night, and I was working with Officer Swanson, and a kid came up and just yelled his name from across the street and came running up to him and started talking to him. And it turned out it was a kid from like 2 years ago that he took on a shop with a cop, and recognized him, remembered him, come up. And every time they see each other, they have a conversation and check in. So it's those relationships are special. And you can tell when you've made that connection with someone. So it's, yeah, it keeps you going every day.
Yeah, I would think, you know, I know you can't walk around with pictures all the time, but those interactions got to count for an awful lot.
They do. And it's, it's in your mind. You know, you can't carry, like you said, you can't carry photos around, but they hold a special place in your memory. And like I said, it keeps you going.
Well, yeah. And more of this means more of those. And, you know, it's not going to change things today, but it might change them for tomorrow too.
That's right.
Yeah. If somebody has interest in either exploring the career, these kind of events, is there enough time to be able to get somebody's attention and say, hey, you got a sec?
Oh, absolutely.
And talk?
Absolutely. I mean, there's 11 hours I'm going to be there. So other than the 3.5 minutes it takes me to actually donate my blood, I will be available. Would love to talk to anybody about the profession, about issues they're having in their community and careers, from all levels of law enforcement, all levels of our department, from records, dispatch to law enforcement.
Yeah, some of the stuff behind the scenes that maybe folks are unaware of that are still critical to the system.
Yeah, everyone makes the clock tick. So.
I was wondering what analogy you were going to use.
I was working on it. I was struggling a bit.
Glad you went on that one. So all week long this week, various locations, and then Wednesday at the blood bank?
Yeah, all week at the blood bank, and then the mobiles will be out at various locations. But Wednesday's the big day. We'd love to see everyone out there.
That's barbecue day.
That's barbecue
day. All right. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
See everybody tomorrow.